Podcast Studios is the home of Head Stuff Podcasts. It's where lots of our shows are recorded and where we work on production, promotion, video, live shows, and lots more. In our studios here in Dublin City Centre, we work with everyone from international brands to government organisations, charities to arts groups, entrepreneurs to hobbyists. So if you'd like us to help tell your story in a creative, professional and engaging way, you can find out more at thepodcaststudios.ie.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Being a parent can be really challenging. Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them on their parenting journey. Everyone deserves someone they can turn to for help with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Gerard. Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rant.
Yoo-hoo!
We're back,
Niamh. Oh, you right.
Season
you.
Two, it's like we never went.
I know.
It's people, as if we never said goodbye.
I know, people feel that way. Very strong. It's like we're afraid.
People are probably refreshing their feeds going, I thought you promised us a break. No.
This is like that Ross and Rachel break, isn't it? It's like Ellen Friends. We were on a break. Yeah, not so much.
Not so much, no. You're very welcome back, listeners. Yes. We missed you so much.
We do.
We hope you enjoyed your best bits. Curated by Niamh Kavanagh.
Oh, well, you know, I did. I did a lot of deep diving. That's only for the first 20 episodes. And the next 20, I'm going to curate. It takes a lot of work to listen to yourself. And I spend my whole time laughing at you, Gerard. That's it. And I realise how unfunny I am.
Well, that's good, because I think it makes up for all the years I spent listening to your songs.
What do you mean that's good? This is where you say, no, you're funny too, Niamh.
Oh, no, you're hilarious too. Of course you are. I had people in Edinburgh come up to me. I was approached on numerous occasions.
Oh, really? But now, is this about the podcast or are you just getting approached?
No, to talk about how funny you were.
Oh.
Oh, I swear to God, now I backhanded someone right across the face.
Really?
Me trying to sell a show over there and they're talking about how funny you are.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
And, yeah, it was a real slap in the face.
Is that because they were expecting me to be a Duro-rail bitch? Is that it?
I told them that's what you were. I was like... She's a real piece of work. You want to see her off camera. Oh, nightmare.
Nightmare.
Very precious. Oh, very precious.
That'd be me. Diva to the stars, me.
And how was your time off?
Well, my time off was full of traveling and interesting things. You know, I've also been assisting my eldest boy who is home, as you know. And he came home and he is considering his options. So I've been bringing him to interviews, literally, like driving him up, go in there and get a job. Consider your options while you're earning money.
I love the way that there's a whole generation of people that they just have an answer for sitting around.
Oh, like absolutely.
They have a thing to call it. It's like... I'm actually assessing my life choices.
I am considering my life options in my boxers in my room, basically. And I know he will not be offended by this because, quite frankly, he doesn't listen to me. At home, he's definitely not listening to me on the podcast.
I wonder will his potential employers be listening. He's Niamh Kavanagh's son, isn't he? What does she say about him on the podcast?
He's amazing. He's amazing. Please employ him.
He's a godsend.
No, he is. I know he can work and I know because he's worked for a year. It's not that, but he clearly has come home
just
and
because
discussed.
Because you can doesn't mean you should.
No. But do you not think that that's kind of across the board with young fellas and young ones now? You know what I mean?
Niamh, I'm not having the youth of today conversation.
Okay. No, but they have a different aspect. You and I, you know, if we would have been in fear of our employers, we would have been in working and all that. They don't seem to have the same concern about that.
Yeah, I think a real problem with the youth of today is that they take pride in their work.
Is this you not getting involved in the youth of today conversation?
I just think that there's an awful lot to be said for not taking pride in your work. There's an awful lot to be said for looking into the mirror every morning and going, as little as possible, girl. That's what we're going to do today. As little as we can get away with.
Earn more, work less.
Exactly.
I mean, to be honest, that's what we've been always trying to attain.
Oh, that's the goal.
You know, that is the goal.
That's the goal. Work 3 days a year and rake in that cash.
3 days a year?
Okay, two. You're right. You're right, Niamh. You make a good point. Condense it over a weekend.
Do you know, if we did it right into a weekend, it'd be lovely, because then the rest of the year, you know, because you don't want to break up the year. Like, that'd be really tragic.
I know.
No, but here's the thing, right? In some ways, I don't understand it, because I worked myself to death as a child, right? When I think about it, it's nearly healthier that they don't feel beholden to their employees.
Oh, it definitely is. Fair play to them. Like, when the right thing comes along, he'll be able to jump on it because he'll have all the energy, because he'll have done nothing for months.
Super excited for that. The other thing I was doing was MOTing my car. So I've been in a dilemma the last couple of years, you see, because my car is 12 years old, there's 190,000 miles on it. And it needs, I mean, I got it as a 3-year-old car. And there was
your
only,
car's actually a nice car.
No, it is. It is. It's a Seat Altea. It's, I mean, my kids always say, why do we not have a fancy car? And I tell you, when you were stuffing two boys in rugby kits and two dogs in the boot of the car, you're not having fancy. Nor if you're doing 30, 40,000 miles a year, which sometimes I did. The thing is, I got the car when it was 3 year old and there was 3,000 miles on it. So the other 187,000 miles I have put on since I got it, right?
In 9 years.
Yes. But also remember, 2 years of those is COVID.
Oh, wow.
And for 2 months of the year, I go up to Donegal and do nothing.
What's the plan then?
Well, it needs a new shock. And it's at this point where I'm thinking to myself, do I get that fixed or do I get a new car? What do you think? I mean, I never get a new car because I don't believe in that. But, you know, unless somebody gives it to me. I mean, they can give it to me.
Are you in like the frame of mind of there could be an accident? If there's anyone listening, because I know we have a demographic.
No!
There's a rough element that listens to this podcast. We're well aware of that.
What do you mean?
Anyone like that would burn out Niamh's car so she could claim the insurance?
No! I live in fear of getting a car. And then after having this lovely car that's been so good to me for so long, and then in 6 months, this other one is going to give up.
Well, it's the devil you know.
Yeah, the devil you know.
It's, as they always say, it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
You get Sonia in every feckin' place. What the hell is wrong with you?
We need to address something.
She's not in the room.
We
right?
need to address something, okay, because you've got messages about this on social media where people are saying, what's the beef with Sonia?
I know. It's you. You have the beef with Sonia. It's not to do with me.
Should have won. Rifle winner 1993.
Okay, let me explain for the listeners who are a bit nonplussed by this. Sonia and I were the last, I suppose,
two.
We could have won. Either of us could have won in
Eurovision,
1993. Things would have been very different. The very last 12, whoever got that would have won. So in other words, if Sonia had got the 12, she would have won. And if I got the 12, I would have won. So that was the way it worked. All we needed was 1 point, but it really went down to the very last 12 and I won. It's nearly 30 years ago. For God's sake, let it go.
I just think there's a sense of justice that needs to be served here.
Against who? You're my friend. What the hell is... What is...
That justice for you. Sonia. Justice for Sonia.
Sonia doesn't care. She's
very upset.
Yeah.
She's very upset. I've seen her.
Have you done her
about
fascinated?
No, she won't do it.
Why?
Me. I don't know. I think it's because I'm friends with you.
That's no,
it's
not.
I'm trying to distance myself publicly.
Well, you're going about it all wrong here. Is that why you keep sticking up for her?
Yeah. If you're listening, Sonia, I'd love to have you. Love to have you.
Sonia, do it. He actually likes you better than me, clearly. He feels you were robbed.
Now, I have to tell you about my Edinburgh journey, Niamh.
Oh, gosh. I'm dying to hear about it.
Do you know what? I genuinely think, right, because when you go to Edinburgh as a comedian, right, they work you like a dog.
Okay.
I did a show every day and I did like 6 compilation shows. I was knackered, but I was absolutely insane. Like,
you were insane.
I was so tired by the end of it. I was absolutely demented, right? I was getting out of an Uber 3 days before I left.
Uh-huh.
And he was dropping me off. And I was kind of in that, you know, when you're tired and you're just in a stupor, but you're not asleep, but you're just like, it's all, it feels like you've just woken up.
Yeah, I've done that when I'm driving. You're slapping your face to keep yourself awake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was getting out the Uber and I went to say thank you. And what I said was thank you very much. You've been a fantastic audience.
No, you didn't.
And do you know what the funny thing was?
Did he think
laugh.
You were being funny?
No,
please.
He didn't.
Oh, no.
He was just like, what is happening? Get out of my car.
Thankfully, it was at the end.
And do you know what I did after that? Straight after that, I decided I'd go to Primark to buy an umbrella.
Primark?
Yeah. Went in. Oh, yeah. Listen, I can go. I can go. I can get a basic bitch umbrella, no problem.
What the hell?
I went in. £4 for an umbrella. Doesn't owe me a penny, right? It actually doesn't. Because what happened was, I got the umbrella off the shelf and then I went downstairs because I was like, oh, I'll have a look and see if they've got some white t-shirts.
Yeah, we always, you can't go into Primark. It's like the Middle Island Lidl. You can't help yourself.
Yeah, you're just a little
You're just
mooch.
In. Yeah, yeah.
Went in, went downstairs. The queue was too long. So I was like, ah, forget it. I'm not going to buy anything. And I left with the umbrella in my hand, which I didn't realise I still had for at least another 45 minutes. Like,
you shoplifted?
Yeah, yes. Shoplifted. Went in, I was paying for a coffee and he asked me like for my card and I lifted up my hand to take my phone out of my bag and I was holding an umbrella. I was like...
Well, I'm pretty sure if they didn't run after you there, there probably wouldn't be. But now that you've said it in a podcast, I'm...
Well, I went back and I paid.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I went back and they were very, like... I'll be honest. I thought they would have been nicer.
You thought it
I went in to pay for an umbrella grateful. That I previously... Yeah. I thought a bit of gratitude now wouldn't have gone amiss.
Well, it would have impressed me. I once walked out... I walked out at Tesco one time with a bag of dog food under my trolley. You know the way dog food bags are big, right? So I used to buy a big dog and I put it in under the... Because obviously I didn't want to take up the space in the trolley. So I put it on the shelf underneath. It's not really a shelf, but you know where... Well, the bag of dog food was in there and I came out the door and I was frazzled. This is when the kids were really small. It was a bit of a nightmare anyway. So I was going out the door and I got out to lift everything out and I went, oh my God, I haven't paid for the dog food. So I went back in. Because I wouldn't be able to sleep.
Oh yeah, I know. I felt
there was
terrible
nobody coming
about it.
After me. I'm pretty sure nobody would have been after me for that, but I just wouldn't have been able to sleep with that. I'd had to go back. That's I can't.
I know, yeah. I went back the next day and they were just a bit like, oh.
Yeah, well, they didn't miss the umbrella clearly. No.
It was the €4. I don't think there were two.
It doesn't matter. You did what was right for you, Grode.
I did. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah. That's exactly what
I'm
I
very
thought.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Very proud of you.
Well, I also felt karma.
Who's you know? Carmel? Carmel?
Karma. You're like, I thought it would be very bad karma to be carrying an umbrella.
No, you just...
Like the last I needed was a 1-star review the next night because...
If only I'd paid for that umbrella. Was it raining in Edinburgh?
Do you know what the interesting
or
thing
was?
Or was
it for the, like a parasol?
It didn't rain a drop after I shoplifted that umbrella.
But was it successful?
Yeah, it was successful. I mean, I mean, it went well. Like, it didn't go badly. That's what I always say about Edinburgh.
Like, I know.
It didn't go badly.
But do you, is it because you're so busy you don't really appreciate it, but what's actually happening at the time? Why do you do Edinburgh? Like, why do...
I've been asking myself that for the 2 weeks I was there. It's like, why am I putting myself through this? Like, I wanted to go and like, practice the show before I do my tour here.
Okay.
And sure, I did 3 nights and then I was like, I'm done. It's all done.
You didn't have to
do
11 the 20...
more nights of this bullshit
you
now
didn't
to
have
get
to
through.
Do the 20 gigs to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. But I was staying in this place in Leith, right, with Niamh and Cal, right? Mm-hmm. I was renting their spare room and very nice people. And I was in this spare room, but I did a little moment of trauma.
In the spare room?
Yeah, because it was a gorgeous apartment. Like, it's one of those, like in an old kind of Scottish building. Like, it's really, really nice. And the doors in the apartment were, you know, those... turn handle ones, you know, like, they're like a knob that you turn.
Uh-huh. And you couldn't open the door
because I put moisturizer on
on the doorknob. Or
no, I put moisturizer on, and then I was trying to. I was like, I can't get out.
I can't get out. I'm gonna die.
There's nobody else here.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened when I was leaving Edinburgh, right, was I had my suitcase. I broke my suitcase.
Oh.
Right, it's an awful pain.
It's terrible because you get used to it. You have a travelling case.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, and you get so used to how you pack it.
Now, I've had this one for years. And Joanne did say, she saw it one day and she said, that looks like a case where you said to somebody, I'm going to buy a case. And they said, sure, I have a case in the attic. It's one of those cases, right?
And is it?
Yeah, it's been around. I've probably had it longer than you had your car.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is like my car then, isn't it?
And what happened was it broke, but like it's kind of like because it broke at the bottom, it kind of buckled the axle. So when you pull it, if you're pulling it very, very slowly, it's fine. But if you if there's any sort of speed, it starts to bounce from side to side. So I was coming down by Princess Street the morning that I was leaving.
Okay.
And this woman stopped me like this. She was quite old. Like I'd say she was, she must have been 70s. Like.
Was she concerned for your safety?
No, she was concerned about my bag because it was bouncing side to side and she thought I had a wee kitty in it.
No! No! Are you serious?
Yeah. Have you a wee kitty in that? And I was like Scottish people are tough. Like, I wasn't sure whether she was, you know, appalled or going, fair play to you. That's the sort of childcare
or
now.
Or do you need a hand with that?
Yeah, that's the sort of parenting that'll sort out the next generation. Attention Agony Rants listeners, I am going to be going on tour later on in the year and early next year with my show Glamour Hammer, and I will be going all around Ireland and the UK. The dates on sale at the moment are Portlaoise, Dundalk, Limerick, which is sold out, Galway, Belfast, Clonakilty, Waterford, Wexford, Sligo, Cork. I'll be at the Everyman in January. My Liberty Hall shows are sold out, but we've just put on at Vicar Street, which is very much not sold out. So,
not just yet.
So come along, we'd love to see you there.
How do I get tickets, Gary?
You can get tickets, Niamh, by asking me.
I know.
But all of those other people, they can buy them on GareffBarley.com. Niamh, I don't think these people are aware that we are part of the Headstuff Podcast Network and that there is special bonus content.
Oh, and how did that happen? Because we talk about it all the time.
We talk about it all the time. But what you can do if you like the show, right? Mm-hmm. Because Niamh spends a lot of money on diesel the whole time and I'm not chipping in. I'm just not chipping in. Enough is enough.
No, he really doesn't.
No. I'll buy a muffin. The diesel's our own business.
Yeah. You never bought me a muffin.
So, excuse me, I bought you brownies.
Brownies,
today.
Yeah, brownies is different.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Fair point. So, if you would like to support the show, and if you would like to, if you're enjoying the show and you would like to contribute, you can support us by subscribing to Headstuff Plus.
Yeah, that would be amazing if you did. Yeah.
And Headstuff Plus, you can pledge as little as €5 a month, and that will go towards diesel and brownies
and boots.
And. Yeah, I mean, if there's a little bit left over, I'll feed my cat. You don't only have to pledge a fiver. You can pledge a tenner. You can pledge whatever you want.
Yeah.
And most of that money will come to us. It's just a way of saying thank you for all of these hours of pleasure that we're giving you.
I know.
And we're not the only show on the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Oh, no.
Even though we are the jewel in the crown.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Gone doubt, as they say at Oscailge. Gone doubt. But actually, this week we are promoting Stephanie Prisoner's show.
Basically,
yeah.
Yeah.
So this, if it's my understanding, it's about, she talks to people like Micheál Martin, and she breaks down the complexities of the pandemic. And then Luke O'Neill, who I actually sang with recently.
You sang with Luke O'Neill?
Luke O'Neill. Yeah, he sings. Yeah, he doesn't, you know.
Do you know what?
Anyway.
The pandemic has given scientists a position in society that they really don't deserve. It's like, it's over now. Back in your box,
I know.
Luke. Leave it to the musicians.
I know, but Luke, he knows stuff. He knows stuff, and he, you know, he's a lovely boy. But you know, here's the thing: they talk about personal finance, personal mental health, and everything from death to taxes. That's like us, actually.
Yeah, it's basically if you have an issue.
Yeah.
She'll give you the short version.
Yeah, it's great.
Basically, Stephanie Prisoner. It's out every week. So here's a little clip from the show. Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Prisoner and I'm here to tell you about my show, Basically. It's all in the name, really. The show makes things basic for people. We've done episodes about world religions, we've done episodes about COVID, we've done episodes, a lot of episodes about mental health and different aspects of mental health to make things accessible to people. One of the great things about the podcast is that you can contact me and let me know what topics you would like. So have a listen, see if anything tickles your fancy. And if there's something there that you think is missing, please get in touch with the show. We'll cover the topic and then you can listen to it. We're part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, so you can find us on headstuffpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon.
So because this is our first episode back,
yeah,
and we're catching up, we just asked the listeners to see what they did when we were off.
Are you sure? You sure we want to go down here?
Some of you have had quite an eventful couple of weeks.
Okay.
So Belle says, I went back to work as a sex line worker. I lasted a few calls. I'd lost my stomach for it. I'd rather be poor.
Well, now, Belle, And see, Bella sent another one there. She's also been in hospital. So yay, it's been a banging few weeks.
Fair play, Belle.
Well, surely
it's been
not.
Quite a couple of weeks. I thought Edinburgh was hard.
I know. Could you be a sex line?
Absolutely. No problem.
Yeah, you'd have skills. Yeah,
look, fair.
You could use your voice,
no,
right?
I think you'd be better at it than I would.
I'm very throaty. Yeah, especially you can be, I can be super throaty, like, yeah. That sounds wrong in that context. You know, that kind of really.
You have a very husky tone to you, you know? Mm,
especially if I've been out singing a lot. It's like.
Yeah. Are you enjoying yourself? Good man, fair play.
I could, yeah, I know. But every time I think about sex line workers, I see them, you know, kind of knitting. But nobody really does that anymore, do they? It's mostly visual now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
More so?
What I would say
Not that
is,
I have a huge
right,
amount of experience, but...
I would say that you would have the tone and voice, but you wouldn't know what to say. I don't think you would have the... I just think that you would end up saying things like, good man, fair play to you. You know, like...
No!
I think you're a bit too pragmatic. No, I think you would definitely have the tone, but I think you would be like, have you any news yourself? I think...
What's the crack?
I mean, I'd say you'd be... Yeah, exactly. I think you'd be great at extending the call. Like, because that used to be...
I'd be making the money.
You used to have to make the... Yeah, I'd be making the money. Keep the call as long as possible. I think you'd be great at that. But I definitely think that, you know... I think value for money.
I don't know whether I need to be offended by this. What are you saying? You're saying like I don't know what this is.
But I think that on those lines, I think that you have to be very
graphic.
Yeah,
maybe.
Whereas I think you'd be. God, it's a shocking day out, isn't it? Oh God, it's absolutely ringing.
Oh. It's very hard.
You can't get anything dry in this weather. Are you right, Jar? I just don't think it's for you. Fair play to you, Belle. You've turned a corner, you've turned a page. The end of a chapter.
Oh my God,
there's some things that she can't do. There's just some things you can't do. Nate.
You don't know.
You have to accept it.
You don't know. You'd have to ring the sex line to see, wouldn't you?
Megan Bracken says, I fell getting onto a train in Cork and busted my arm. Also nearly took down another girl with me.
Aww,
oh, God.
Megan?
When That's awful.
When was this? I was in Cork.
Yeah, there was just a say at Altus swooshing by.
So I'm loving Mary's, right? Mary Malloy says, potty trained a toddler, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life to date. Nobody warned us. Now, speaking of someone who's potty trained three people, one who is about to have a child themselves, age 40, my sister Aoife, right?
Ah.
Yeah, and she'll be loving that I just...
I didn't know she was having a child.
Declared, yeah. Oh, sorry. She's having a baby. Aww. I know. I'm so excited. I'm going to be a granty. Well, not really, because I am actually going to be an auntie, but I'm so old. It'd be like a granty.
Ah, that's so cute.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for them. But like, I really am. I'm probably just going to be standing on her doorstep every 5 minutes, giving her. And the worst part is she's got three older sisters and a mother who's probably going to kill her with advice. Anyway, but I'm just saying, so that was all girls, and that's fine. I'm from a house full of girls. And then I had to potty train the boys. Oh, my God.
Potty training boys is very different.
It is, because they won't sit down.
And they can aim it.
Yeah.
They can, though.
Okay.
I remember my mum tells a story about me taking a pee in my granny's handbag.
Wow. Is that when you were small?
I did, yeah. And there's a photograph as well.
I read their books and I introduced the potty into the... shall we say the environment, and said, look, there's the potty, you know, and so they wouldn't be afraid of it and all, and they definitely resisted the urge to go anywhere near it. They wouldn't go near it, they wouldn't sit on it, they wouldn't do anything. I did all the lovely things, you know, to urge them to do so, and then I was giving up and my brain just wasn't coping with it, and then Tom, the eldest, went up and literally leaned on the wall and peed into it like he was in a pub. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like a pub. He put his hand up on the wall and then leaned down and peed into it. And I went, okay. Obviously, my objective was wrong. Do you know, I think potty training is successful if you decide you're ready for it. If you're in any way timid about it, forget it.
I'm sorry. I'm hearing a lot of whinging going on here, right?
Because you've never done it.
No, and I'll tell you why, right?
Right,
because humans are designed to use the toilet. We all use the toilet. I've toilet trained a cat. Come back to me when you've toilet trained a species that isn't supposed to be toilet trained.
I'll give you that. It is impressive that your cat sits on the toilet. Mary, I feel your pain. But now I'm going to tell you, you're done. Don't mind him.
I had to toilet train a little person. I'm going to do a video of this and I'm going to tack on my cat peeing. And
I'd say they can't wait. So Orna, is it Orna? Orna says she started dating someone, but she looks a little unsure with her emojis.
Yeah. Her emojis.
Her emojis are going...
Yeah, she's doing the...
So does the other person...
Is this a good idea? Is it not?
Or is it like, does the other person know they're dating?
I was one of those.
Were you?
Yeah, I was like, we're engaged.
Oh, really?
But you know, they were like, who are you again? Do we know each other?
You sat next on the table next to them.
Yeah,
was it like...
We're engaged. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mad about me. Mad about me. He's obsessed. Okay.
Well, Orna, I hope that's you having a nice time dating someone.
Yeah, Orna, you can't just drop something like that in there. Come on,
we definitely need more. So, you know, the unsure faces and then the laughy face at the end definitely requires some sort of, even if you want to express it in emojis, it's fine. And then we can try and figure it out.
I'm always like, it's always such a terrifying time. I was talking to somebody about this recently. Like when you start dating somebody, it's been so long since I've done it. I've forgotten that feeling of being kind of mad about somebody.
And unsure how they feel.
Yeah, but also like there's that feeling that the bottom could just drop out of it at any moment. Like it's very scary. To be honest, if I was single again, I'm not sure I'd be arsed going back into it. I don't think I would.
Yeah, women of a certain age often talk about whether we bother breaking another one in. You know, you'll have to watch whether you've brushed your hair or, you know, you'd have to, you know, that level. I'd have to shave my legs. It's all right for you blokes. You don't have to do all that stuff, you know.
You still have to groom.
Okay.
I mean, you have to keep things a bit.
I know. You do. I do a bit now, to be honest. That sounds like I'm not kind to my husband, but, you know. Sometimes
she'll mow herself every so often.
I'll take the winter coat off around February, March when it gets a bit warmer.
I have to say, like, I'm okay with my own company.
Yeah, me too.
I know. If I don't have my own company, I'd be mad.
You would be. Yeah, I would. You would be that hermit. You'd be that person in a loincloth going, you know.
Yeah, I'd be going down to Tesco's with a bag of cats.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You'll never be on your own. You've got cats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you'll have at least 4 months.
Hi, Niamh and Garrod. Love, love, love your show. Great start.
Great start.
You both make me laugh so much, I have a problem for you.
Okay,
straight to the point. Recently, my extended family set up a WhatsApp group.
We both have the same feeling, don't we?
There are about 30 members, and as you can imagine, it's hard to keep track of. For some reason, my nieces and nephews have been added to the group, and they are all quite young and have their first phones. That's a nightmare.
Well,
my niece is 14 and has taken to really oversharing in this WhatsApp group. I love it.
Part of me would like that, actually.
She posts video messages and voice notes.
Voice notes?
And they are usually about how annoyed or depressed she is.
That would make me laugh.
I'm not worried about her at all, but a lot of it is looking for attention. My sister doesn't see the harm in it. But I find it really annoying. My sister, that's her mother, I guess.
Yeah.
My sister doesn't see the harm of it, but I find it really annoying. Also, the last time I was over, she posted a picture of my in the group and had...
Of me.
Of me in the group and had guess who's come over to moan underneath it.
I'm kind of in love with this.
I kind of like this kid. I like this kid. And she's doing it to all of... That's brilliant. Oh, I was annoyed, but to be fair, I was moaning.
Well, fair play, Jillian.
Fair play, you're taking this well, Lynn. This is a good roast. Yeah. I've mentioned it to my sister and she doesn't seem to care, but I think it's really weird. Our extended family isn't close, so I'd imagine my niece oversharing is really jarring for everyone. But before she joined the group, it was only ever for family announcements. Do you think I should say something to her? I should also say that when she posts in it, they do tend to reply to her. That's from Lynn.
Well, Lynn, where are you on this group?
Where am I on this? Look, those WhatsApp groups, like, I think a WhatsApp group with anyone over five or six people, it's
a nightmare.
It's a nightmare because most of the time you don't know how it's been received or who's receiving it or who's even reading it or who has muted it if there's 30 people in a group, right? But I would say, you know what? That's what kids do.
I know they do.
Like, they just overshare and it's obvious that she wants a bit of an audience. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about that. I wouldn't say it to her. Like, what I would say...
I think she's already aware, to be fair.
Yeah, she's totally aware, especially if nobody's... Like, they do reply to her. But if it's a quiet WhatsApp group, I mean, would you have a word? Like, if that was one of your kids, would you have a word?
I might. No. You know the way I deal with children, young people, I give them grief. Like, yeah. my children are well prepared for the adult world because I have done nothing but give them sarcasm their whole lives. So, you know, they would quite readily, if they were here, they would actually agree with that. You know, nothing phases them now.
I think it's really jarring when a niece or a nephew, because I've had this, because my nieces and nephews now are starting to hit their teens.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, if I'm having a conversation with my sister about something, all of a sudden they're chipping in.
And they have an opinion.
I'm just like, when did you get opinions? What's going on? And do you know what it is, right? They get opinions first and they get the way of communicating, like, they're well able to hold their own in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But the last thing that they get is the ability to read the room. And that's what's going on here. She is not feeling the love here.
No.
So she's getting more and more needy for it. But she doesn't understand is that never going to get it there.
It's not the environment for it.
No.
I know. But Lynn, do you know what I mean? I feel your pain. If it's annoying you, I get it. So just, is there a way you can just mute one person in a group?
I don't think so.
Right. So the thing is, you can mute the group, which means that you're not getting notifications of it. You could just check it every now and then.
What she could do...
That sounds like very boring, doesn't it? It's very boring.
I mean, she could mute the group.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say that anyone that's in a family WhatsApp group and doesn't have that group muted already, I think you are playing a very bad game.
You clearly have nothing else to do with your time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think what she should do is maybe have a chat to her mother and just go, that's hilarious. Like, she's pouring her heart out to these people and we all know what they're like. They don't care. They couldn't care less.
I know.
And just, it'd be interesting to see what her mother thinks the whole thing. Yeah. But I totally get it that her mother is probably like, look, she's a young person. These are her own.
And it's not a bad place to do it among her family.
I'd much rather she was doing it in there than she was doing it on social media.
It's a safe space.
Then it's
just a safe space. She's only 14. God.
Yeah.
I mean, I love,
it's cute,
I actually
though,
love teens
cute.
Like that. I love when they get opinions. I know you don't, but I absolutely love kids because they have apps. They're like my husband. They have absolutely no filters.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
And no filters. And as you say, they don't read the room. Like, and part of me is sitting there going, this is hilarious.
Because they can't read the room. They can't reverse out of it.
No.
So all
it's like you. It's like you and the sex line.
Double down.
How deep can I dig?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
But that's where they learn their life skills. You know, that's in an area that, you know, people can abrade them, but they won't die from. You know what I mean?
I mean, I have to say, now that I read that.
Yeah.
The idea of if I saw one of my nieces or nephews doing this in like the extended
Farrelly
WhatsApp group or something, I think I would be like, are you all right? Come over now to your uncle Jerome. We'll have a pizza and we'll talk about this because
clearly.
You're talking to people there.
There's some issues here.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I mean, she says she's not worried about her and I get it. It's an attention thing. But at 14, that is your job, isn't it? Is that a transition from being a child to being an adult? That's a really hard few years.
Yeah,
like, you know, it is a horrible time. You, when you're a bit precocious
and people are going,
who are you? Like, growed, but isn't he? What? Who said you could have an opinion?
But like, the guest who's come over to moan.
I love that.
I have to take her hat off to her. Like, Lynn, to be fair now, I know it's not nice, but like, you have to take her hat off to her there.
You know what? I would have said, I can hear you, you know. You know, I'm here. I can see that.
That's an interesting one. Like, you could reply to her.
Oh, no, I'm a disaster. The level of sarcasm that I let kids is like outrageous. I love them. And actually, quite a lot of them get the sense of humor. They really get it.
Yeah.
But I can't help myself because sarcasm is my favorite thing. And, you know, when somebody puts in a little moment, and kids are brilliant for it. Like, I just love it.
And do you know what the other side of this is, actually?
Mm-hmm.
All we're doing, like all anybody's doing nowadays, is telling kids to talk about their feelings. And then the second they do, we're like, oh, none of us can handle this.
What the hell? They're oversharing now.
It is good. It is good that she's, at least you know if there is ever anything wrong.
Yeah.
Well, she'll do a blog about it. that is good. Like, at least she is sharing. I think that's good.
No, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But Len, look, seriously, I feel your pain. If it's annoying you, then just block it. Just mute the conversation and go in and check and see if there's anything pertinent in your life every now and then. But seriously, I mean, this will pass, because very soon she's going to go into a room and not want to talk to anybody.
Exactly.
Age 14, you're still sharing. By 15 and 16, they have nothing to say to you, because just in case you might have opinions.
Yeah, this is going to be short-lived.
And actually, it's not a bad thing in a kid to be sharing. I always say to my kids, as long as I know, I mean, they're men now, but the point is, as long as you're talking, and I know that I have faith that you'll come and talk to me if you need it. There is that horrible moment, I still remember it, when they stop talking to you and then you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
That is horrible. So as much as this is annoying, I have to say, I wouldn't be too stressed about it.
Do you know what, Lynn? I'm going to do some tough love here.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just like, you need to grit the teeth with this one. I don't think you should change. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything to be changed here.
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to change anything anyway, Lynn. But you're just going to be like the killjoy.
But maybe
really. Don't
moan in front of her. You don't want to give this little brat some ammunition.
I just call her on it.
Yeah, that is the thing. Do you know what you could do? Like, you could get revenge there. You could start posting her baby pics.
Oh my
god! The WhatsApp group. That's
there
good
must one. Be ones that would be mortally embarrassing for
her. Yeah. Don't be afraid to wage a war.
I know. Let us know how you get on, Lynn.
Yeah, do we want to follow up?
I know. We always love follow-ups.
From all of our... We got some follow-ups.
Did we?
Yeah, I just didn't print them out.
Oh.
But look.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a lot on, Niamh.
How can you ask for follow-ups and then not print them out?
We've got some, yeah.
We should do a follow-up episode again.
Yeah, we'll do a follow-up.
Yeah,
okay. In a couple of weeks.
Excellent.
Listen, it's been wonderful to see you again.
Oh, I know. You look so lovely.
So nice.
No, you're striped.
I love her death warmed up now.
The eyes are dead, not going to lie.
Dead behind the eyes.
Not
my last show.
Not
my last show
shark
in Edinburgh.
Death.
Yeah.
But just look, I'm tired.
My last show in Edinburgh, I threw four people out now.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
They were laughing at the wrong time. I was like, no, enough is enough now.
But that's your fault. Is
Hit
that
the
not
road.
Your fault if they were
no,
laughing
no,
at the
no,
wrong
they
time?
Were too, they were drunk.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like an absolute
take a no nonsense. No nonsense on your gig.
At the set, we're going to rattle through this and we're getting this done.
Because I'm going home after this.
Yeah.
I know. Poor baby. Did you enjoy it? Did you have a party after?
Absolutely not. No. Okay. Never again.
Right. Well, we'll do it together next time. I'll do this.
There's a lot of people worse. A couple of people said it to me.
No.
Why does Niamh do a show?
What?
No, because she's not the funny one. That's why.
Right, we'll see you all next week.
Lovely to be here. Lovely to be back.
I need to take Corona aside here for a minute.
Always lovely to speak to you. agonyrants@gmail.com if you want to get in touch.
Yeah.
And we'll chat to you again soon.
Yeah, love you. Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Heard my little sis is buying a car. You'll need my secret guide.
Gross, no way. I already used Capital One Auto Navigator.
I bet your credit score
wasn't impacted at all, so ha! I got my real rate and monthly payment, had an amazing test drive at the dealership, and made the purchase.
Taking the easy way out. That's so you.
Still not getting it. That's so you. Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at capitalone.com/autonavigator.
What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh.
what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.